우리 영어가 더 편한 사람들을 위해서 한번더 영어로 본문을 좀 읽겠습니다. Acts chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men out of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. 기도하겠습니다. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us here today through your Spirit, through the life that you've given us. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts. We do not deserve your grace to be upon us, but out of your love shown through your Son, Jesus, we thank you that you will and you desire for us to feed on you today. So help us, help me to hear and speak your word, hear and speak your truth, so that we may be changed forever today. For your glory, in Jesus' name, Amen. 영어로 설교하겠습니다. Most often than not, when people have lost loved ones, it's those that have also lost loved ones that are most comforting. They know how it feels. They know when they need to cry, when a hug helps, when a listening ear helps, and also when it doesn't help. It is the same with cultures. When I was 15 years old and new Koreans came to my school with their broken English but high mathematics skills, struggling to make friends, I would understand where they're coming from. I would be in a unique position who would be able to understand where they're misunderstood, helping them to adapt to new colleagues, new teachers, and a new environment. Why? Why? Because I wasn't just Korean. I was also British. I understood both cultures, so I was able to be a bridge to both. However, when there is no person that can be a bridge, we are lost in translation, and if not careful, we are easily offended by other cultures. Friction, frustration, even racism develops, and we end up with an indifferent mentality. You stay on that side, and I'll be on this side. You stay there, I'll be here. If cultures in the church do not understand one another, where they're coming from, why they behave the way they do, there is bound to be times where the enemy creates division and destruction. We, the body of Christ, must fight against this and carry the gospel together. So here in our passage today, we see an example of an increase in the number of cultures being added to the fellowship that consequently raises the likelihood of misunderstanding, friction, and conflict. As this new community of believers were learning what it meant to be Christian, they were also vulnerable to the enemy's attack. Their colorful diversity was also their point of vulnerability. Therefore, the church needed to raise people that would be bridges, that would help the misunderstood minority and help them to integrate into the new environment. When people are moved to spread the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world, just as this church was doing, Satan tries its hardest to derail God's plan. It attempts to put fear into God's people by ways of persecution, as it did with the apostles getting beaten for preaching the gospel in chapter 5. It tries by spreading hypocrisy into the people's hearts, as it did with Ananias and Sapphira in chapter 5. We now see in chapter 6 that Satan tries to derail God's plan by dividing the church. This is because the people of the good news are most important. Right now, the world is broken in sin. Even the people of the good news are broken in sin. However, that doesn't stop God from using the people of the good news as the primary means to which he will move to redeem all of creation back to a relationship, right relationship with him. Not just Korean Calvary Church, but the universal church, all of us. So there was a complaint that broke out from the Hellenists, the Greek Christians, against the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. It's most likely that the church leaders, the apostles, heard about it from others. Widows in those days had nobody to stand up for them. Their chances of remarriage were very slim, and it was undesirable to marry a widow. For many of them, their income was very low. There were no state or no social service or charity organization like we have today to help them. This is why God emphasized helping these groups of people. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, God is described to be the one who executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, who loves the sojourner, giving him food and cleansing and clothing. This is exactly what was happening in this new growing church. People were selling their possessions, some even their property, to fund this mercy ministry to the poor, the widow, the fatherless, those that did not have any resources to help themselves. This ministry project was supposed to be an expression of God's love towards the unprivileged and powerless. However, it started to become a place where people started to grow in suspicion and resentment, all because some had started to get lost in translation, not understanding the other cultures. You tend to start becoming suspicious of people who you don't fully understand. I understand what these leaders were going through because I work as a project manager of streetlights every Monday night. Streetlights is a homeless charity that has been going on for 6 years now. It's a charity that opens up the doors to homeless, vulnerable, elderly, lonely people of all ages and all cultures. We cook a two-course dinner and serve about 70 people a night. Most of them are immigrants. Some of them are people who live in council houses with low income. As the leader of this charity, working together with about 15 volunteers that come after they finish work from central London and everywhere, we get to deal with many cultures clashing with one another as they seek to get the biggest plate of food, the heaviest bags of donations to carry home. I know some of the guests that come on our Monday nights. Some of them have come every week for the last 6 years. I know them by name, and they know me by name. Some of them, I only know them by their faces. Some of them, I can't communicate with because neither of us speak each other's language. I try to show them impartiality when serving them. It's a difficult role I've taken because it's not easy to judge who is in need more than the other. While I serve these guys from different cultures, some of them think that I'm showing favoritism to some and not to others. Some think I'm listening to the words of my favorite people while ignoring my less favorite people. They are suspicious of me. To be honest, I do have favorites. Some people that come on nicer and less difficult to deal with than others. However, they're not the only ones that are suspicious. I'm also suspicious of them because I know that some of them are very crafty and clever and sneaky in getting the service that they want. Suspicion grows quite fast in a place like Streetlights. This is what was going on with the widows that received the daily distribution of food. Suspicion grew to resentment towards those that weren't that were in charge of the daily distribution of food. However, it seems the problem wasn't just about the food. Most likely, the majority of the people in charge of the distribution were Hebrews. It says that the Hellenist widows complained about the Hebrew widows. The Hellenist immigrant widows started to get suspicious that there was favoritism being shown towards the Hebrew local people, local widows. It seems the complaint wasn't just about the food distribution, but against the Hebrews. The church was divided into us and them. Hellenists versus Hebrews. There was racial and ethnic tension going on behind this complaint. Was it racism? I don't think so. But if this complaint continued to be going unchecked, then I'm sure it was going that way. The apostles recognized that this was a small issue that could blow up into a bigger one if it wasn't dealt with. Therefore, they carefully appointed a committee to take charge in this matter so that Satan would not have its way in dividing the fellowship of believers. Why am I preaching about cultural tensions causing division in church? We're mostly all Koreans here, and everybody here gets along fine. I don't think we have widows either. So how does this passage apply to us? Yes, we are very polite groups of people. However, we mustn't forget that we are still a sinful, polite group of people. There is bound to be cultural friction somewhere down the line. Most of you may be Korean, but actually, you're from different parts of Korea that share slightly different values. Additionally, you all have very different backgrounds. You've not grown up with the same values as each other. And everybody here came to London at different times, which means some of you are more British than others. I know a Korean mum who's lived in London for 20 years now. She went to Korea a few months ago and she came back saying she didn't like Koreans there in Korea. They were so rude, arrogant, and selfish. The Koreans that live in London are different to the Koreans that live in Seoul. Your children, for example, are Korean, have Korean passports, go to Korea during the summer, read and write Korean, eat Korean food, but in their hearts, they are not fully Korean. Their mindset, their values, their culture is different to the adults of this church. Whether you're really Korean, or British Korean, or just British with a Korean body, no culture, Korean or not, is perfect. No culture is perfect. No person from one culture can say to one another, I'm better than you, and you need to change. It is due to this fact that God became man, led us to the revelation that all cultures on this earth are broken. And also showed us what it would look like for someone to live with a perfect culture, the culture of the kingdom of God. King Jesus teaches us that to live with God's culture will always involve honestly looking at our sinful hearts, our brokenness, to repent, turning back to God for his mercy and righteousness. So let us continue in our passage. In verses 2 to 3, it reads, And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So as the 12 apostles heard of the complaint within the church, they called all the disciples and carefully appointed a committee that would be tasked to alleviate this problem. It's also a good point, to point out that it wasn't the apostles that chose who would be in the committee, but the disciples themselves. So who were chosen? They appointed someone from the full number of the disciples, followers of Jesus, who also had a good reputation amongst the community. They were to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom, meaning mature and experienced in their walk with Jesus, capable of handling projects such as the distribution of food to the vulnerable. Notice, though, that the 7 men who were chosen were Hellenists. Verse 5 reads that they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, a Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. They all had Greek-based names. It's obvious why a person in this kind of committee needed to be a disciple of Jesus, being full of the Spirit and of wisdom. They needed to be men of capability and also know how to depend on God's Spirit to do their work. However, why Hellenists? It is because only those that have lost loved ones can comfort those that have lost loved ones. It's because these Hellenist men understood the Hellenist widows better than the Hebrew men. Ultimately, they understood and empathized with being treated unfairly as a foreigner. When people that have never lost loved ones try to comfort those that have lost loved ones, they say things like, "God has a purpose and is still in control," or "God will work this for the good of those, for your good." These are not helpful comments to make when someone is hurting. Most people who have also lost loved ones will just cry with broken-hearted people. They know by experience that this is all that they need, someone to cry with them. I've read that often people grumble about problems that are directly related to their area of spiritual gifts. When you see someone complaining that the church does not do enough outreach, you're probably looking at a person with the gift of evangelism. If a person complains that the church is not friendly enough, it's most likely that the person has the gift of hospitality. The one who grumbles about how disorganized the church is probably gifted in administration. What am I saying here? I'm not saying let's hear the grumbling and dissatisfaction of how our church operates on Sundays and weekdays, nor am I saying that complaining is good. I'm simply saying that if there are any complaints in your heart, I would encourage you to use them to explore your gifts in serving. If you think the sermons that are preached here are not that great, maybe it's time you explore teaching, either at Bible study or even look to the prospect of pastoral ministry. Maybe. If you think the chairs aren't set up very well at church and someone needs to do something about it, well, maybe you should consider coming in early to church and help out with your input and shoulder muscles. Maybe. My point is that we have enough grumblers and complainers in the church. We have. Grumblers and complainers only vent their frustrations without doing anything about it, rather expecting the church leadership or someone else to act on it for them. God calls you to be servants of the good news that redirect their frustration to worshiping God by taking on some of the responsibilities that make up what we call the Korean Calvary Church. What qualifies you to be a servant of the good news? It isn't enough to be able to empathize with those of different cultures going through different challenges in life. To be a servant, you must first know how to serve. And in order for you to know how to serve, you must know how to love. And the only way you know how to love is to know and be impacted by love itself. That is Jesus, who encompasses what it means to love. When you understand that you were and still are a sinner that does not deserve God's mercy, God's love, when you understand that God did not need to send his perfect son to die for your sins, but purposely sent him because he loved you, then you would get a glimpse of what love looks like. You must experience perfect love first in order to perfectly love yourself. All these people in Acts that gave up their possessions, sharing everything with one another, understood God's love towards them. It is because they were impacted in their hearts to the extent that they came to the realization that they could not reach God in their own strength, being religious, obeying God's commandments as best as they could. They could not earn God's love. They realized that God sent his son to die for their sins while they were still sinners. They understood that whatever sin that would separate them from God had been dealt with by Jesus' death on the cross. Not only that, they understood that Jesus came to perfectly obey God's commandments for them, to count Jesus' righteousness as their own. No longer were they obeying God to be righteous. No longer were they earning their holiness. They were free to serve without the pressure of meeting God's standards. Jesus, their Lord, met that standard and clothed them with the righteousness that they could not attain. That is what it means to know the love of God. And that is what moved these disciples to serve the widows that were in need. In order for you to be servants of the good news, you must first be impacted at the heart level by the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for your life. It reads in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, that God gave preachers and teachers to the church to equip the saints, you, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The pastors and deacons have a duty to serve you. These leaders are to devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They are to make and build new relationships, restore old broken relationships, but they are to serve you by equipping you for the work of ministry, which is to serve the body of Christ. Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus calls you to follow in his footsteps and serve. By being servants of the good news, by serving in the organization of the church, cleaning the church, hosting Bible studies or meals, you're not only being a servant that gets to joyfully love one another in serving one another, you're actually relieving the church leadership to get on with what they were established to do by God. That is, devoting themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Preaching of the good news is most important. The focal point of this whole passage is right in the middle, and that's verse 4. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Verse 1 starts with, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number," and verse 7 finishes with, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." The only reason why the good news spread, why the number of disciples grew, is because the apostles devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So you see, When grumbling and frustrations from the church are directed towards action to alleviate what caused the grumbling and frustration, when disciples of Jesus take on the role of servants that help with Sunday worship, organization, preparing delicious Sunday lunch meals, visiting churches' families' houses, making new friends, and inviting all friends that do not know Jesus to church, etc., the teachers and preachers of the word are free to devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, which is the main cause of growth in the church. To make it even plainer to you, believers that take up their cross and follow Jesus in coming to church, not only to be served, but also to serve, these people take part in enabling the good news to spread, increasing the number of disciples, glorifying God's name in this community. The body of Christ carries the gospel together, not just the pastors and the deacons together. Brothers and sisters, if you have something in your heart that wants to serve in some way, if you have ideas and frustrations, tell the church leadership team. Let them enable you to serve. Do not stay frustrated or let yourself believe that your ideas are not that great. God is calling you all to be saints, the servants that go about doing the work of ministry, building up the body of Christ. If you've had no complaints about how church operates during the week, could it be that you've not looked hard enough to be involved yet? If so, you need to go to God, repent of your lack of interest, and ask Him to help you take up the role of a servant, of a saint that carries the gospel with the rest of the church. As you seek to repent before God, you will find that you come to church expecting to be served rather than to serve. I know this, not because I know you, but because I know that I am self-seeking, that we are selfish, that we are broken sinners. In these moments, take the opportunity to ask God for His mercy and beg Him to change your heart to imitate the servant heart of Jesus. As the church takes on their role, as the teachers and preachers devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, God will do the work that is needed to spread the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. God will do that. God will multiply the number of disciples in the Korean Calvary Church and the Universal Church alongside it. Many more will come to break free from this sinful world and experience the love of our God. So this week, I encourage you to consider in your heart to commit to taking up your cross. Not to be served, but to serve, to give your life for the sake of the many. Let us pray. Amen.